that and you've opened up your heart, you're in that relationship with God. It's a covenant relationship. And what that means is part of you becoming a Christian means that you stepped into a relationship where God is what you need him to be. And I'm going to cover some stuff in a minute, but I just want to say a few things before I do, and this isn't in my notes. That covenant relationship means that God will be what you need him to be. That's every circumstance that you face. Everything that's going on in your life. He's a faithful God. He's the same God who raised Moses to free the people from Egypt. That's our God. He's the same God who is a God of Abraham, God of Isaac. He's the same God. That's who's looking after us. That's who's looking after me. We've already said this morning that we're not finished. I know I'm not finished. Yeah. You know, I have times I think, oh Lord, you know, when am I going to get any better? I'm being honest. I'm still being changed. I need to be changed. I'm still needing to be changed. But what I say this morning is that you are in that covenant relationship. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter that you're not finished. It doesn't matter that you've not got everything sorted. It doesn't matter that all your habits aren't sorted. I love it that we're a come as you are church. Come as you are and let God sort you out. If I waited to be right, I would never be here on a Sunday. I'd never be here on a Sunday because I still need sorting out daily. I still need sorting out. Okay. Slide number one. Right, I'm going to test your knowledge here now. Can you just take the two front lights out for me, and the other row of lights out for me, please? Right, who's that? Yep. So, and what film was it? Home Alone. Yes. Oh, you've passed. Kevin McAllister, Macaulay Culkin. What year was it? 90. Oh, you get a star. You get a big star. 1990. Well done. That's supposed to be an expression of fear because he's been left on his own. Okay, slide number two. The dictionary definition of fear. Strong emotion caused by great worry about something dangerous, painful, the unknown that is happening or might happen. Number three is the big one, I think, for a lot of us. The unknown. We all like to know what's going on. And what's the key to not being fearful? And the next slide. This is what I love. Obeying God's word. Now, I know I say this a lot, and I'm going to say it again today, and I'm not going to apologise. You can only obey God's word if you know what's in it. The Holy Spirit can only bring back to your memory what you have read. So, if you've not read your Bible yet, or not reading your Bible, the Holy Spirit can't bring things back. Now, it can bring things back that people have said, which is why you come on a Sunday morning. Thank you, God. Just in case you don't open your Bible. But the Holy Spirit brings back God's word. What does the Bible, what does Scripture say about fear? So I'm just going to speak briefly. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 4-8. Now I'm going to read the whole lot here and then I'm going to dip back in it. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me do. So what in there? I'm going to just break it up a little bit for you. You know, you might say, oh, well, when Paul wrote this, he must have been a very positive person. Rubbish. Paul, when he wrote this, was a person who was confident in what God could do. So he wasn't a positive, half-glass full person or full-glass person. He was a person who was confident in what God could do. So it wasn't positive thinking. And when he says, when he talks about this, in one of the versions it says, be anxious for nothing. Now when that's said in the Bible, it means that's a command. It's not optional. Sometimes think, oh, be anxious for nothing. No. He's telling us there, be anxious for nothing. It's a command. And, you know, when you've got to decide sometimes to fix your eyes on God. You've got to decide to fix your eyes on God. Our fears can be what's going to happen, what might happen, the unknown, failure, new, something new. Some of us don't like new things. It can be sickness and not being in control of circumstances. There's nothing worse than things happening around you and you just can't get hold of them. That's difficult. And fear of what is happening around us. Look at the last 2 weeks we've had. 2 to 3 weeks. Look at recent events in Southport and those families and those children. Very sad and very scary. And as I was thinking about the words for today, one of the thoughts was earlier in the week was be centred. We sing that song, Jesus be the centre. Be centred. Not on ourselves, but allow God to centre you. You know when you're doing your sat nav, I get lost going on a roundabout. I get on one roundabout and when I'm following directions, I have to count me steps, me roads going off. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone round roundabouts twice. I try not to cut people up. I do try to go round again, but I've missed it. And I miss it quite a lot. But you've always got that option on your sat nav to recenter. Or on your phone when you're trying to find something, recenter it. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to be centred. Put Jesus, your trust in God, at the centre. Why? Because he is the Alpha, the beginning. He is the Omega, the end. Our faith has to be bigger than any fear. If you're fearful today about anything at all, you have to give that to God. Fear can be natural. It's a natural emotion. You're human. We all become fearful at times. So I'm not giving you something here and saying, never be fearful, because that's not reality. We do get fearful, or we can get worried, or we can be concerned about things, and particularly for others. Sometimes it's easier to have things wrong with yourself than it is about other people. We have hope. I loved that video. That cat video. Lisa shared it with me earlier this week, me and Mark, and I love it because we are hope. We have a hope. When you're mixing with people, we have a hope. When you When people rub shoulders with you, you have a hope. When I have conversations with people, I have hope. People should feel better after they've been with me than before they met me. I have a hope. My roots are in God. My foundation is in God. I will not be shaken. You will not be shaken. We can trust God in our falling apart world. I'm going to say that again. We can trust God in our falling apart world. You put the telly on or different things. I'm not being funny. I don't care who's in government. This is not a political thing. Our world is falling apart. It is. You see stuff and you listen to stuff. You watch stuff. You cannot believe the things that are happening to people. But we can trust God in that. I can trust God in that. I'm shocked by things. Even in my shock at things that I watch and listen to, I get hold of that straight away and I say, God, do something in this situation. I'm going to pray for those families of those children when I finish. I want God to do something in such a terrible, shocking situation. I want some good to come out of it. I don't know how that is, but I can pray that. I can pray that. You can pray that. Remember what I said about Abraham? Abraham prayed over the people in Sodom. He prayed over them. We have the authority in the name of Jesus to pray over circumstances and have a different outcome. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. I feel passionately about this, absolutely passionately, because if I don't live like that, I might as well shut up shop and go home and do my garden. I'm being serious. I believe it 100%, and that is the God who I love and serve. He makes a difference. Some of you might be thinking, how do I do this? And that's fine. How do I do this? I want to say to you this morning, don't suppress or try to ignore any fear. Do not do that. I've learned in my Christian life, everything has to be in the light. It's one of Lisa's favourite sayings. It has to be brought into the light. Everything has to be brought into the light. Any fear has to be brought into the light, because fear will keep you where you shouldn't be. And when you give that fear and you bring it into the light, particularly when you talk to God about it, it then becomes in that light that God deals with it. And there's an exchange that goes on then. There's an exchange, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Very practical exchange. I've had this word on my heart about fear for about 2 weeks. And I believe that it is for today. I wouldn't share it if I didn't. Bring in everything. You know, nothing is insignificant. You know what I love about my God is he's in the detail. He's in the big stuff and he's in the little stuff. Nothing is insignificant. If it's important to you, it's important to God. Nothing is too big or too small. Pray about everything that is bothering you. Ask him what to do in circumstances. I have circumstances and I say to God, I have not got a clue, Lord, how to deal with this. That's how I pray. I say, Lord, I have not got a clue how to deal with this. I might be angry over something. I might be upset over something. And what I find is I have to give it to God. I don't suppress it. I have to give it to God. Don't put the lid on it, because that's no good for you. Talk to God about it. It's no surprise to him. I've told you that before. It's no surprise. He's just waiting for you to come to him. I ask him what to do in circumstances. Hand it over and let him know what is wrong, and ask him to turn that fear into faith. Then ask him to fill your heart and mind with his supernatural peace. Then continue to spend time talking with him. sharing your life each day. You were created and I were created, and God keeps reminding me of this. You were created originally to walk with God in the garden. Mankind was created, we were created as humans to walk with God in the garden. God wants a relationship with God where we walk with him every day and we talk with him every day. That's what we were created for. And doing all this with thankfulness stops us having a whinge and a moan. You know, you can't whinge and moan when you've got a grateful heart. Okay. So all I'm saying is, when it said be thankful, you've got to be thankful, because then you won't whinge and you won't moan. So practice thankfulness. One of my things that I do towards the end of my dog walk, as I do my last bit coming home, I thank God for the day. I thank God that I'm up. I thank God that I'm well. I thank God for the day. I start to pray for other people. But I'm thankful. And every day when I'm walking back, it's one of my habits, is I'm thanking God for his goodness, for his mercy, everything he's given me. And I'm thanking him as I'm walking back. It's something that I practice. A thankful heart will stop you from moaning. When it said there about and the peace, the supernatural peace, I just want to talk about peace for a couple of minutes. I read this in one of my commentaries that I read. So as well as reading, obviously, Philippians 4, I look at different commentaries and I have a look at different things. And I read this and I thought, this is really good, this. So I pinched it. So, peace from God. Paul continually used this as an introduction to his letters and a reminder that God's peace is his gift to us. So that's God's gift to us, his peace. Peace with God. This is the peace that is granted to us because of us giving our lives to him and because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. So what I said before, that relationship ensures the fact that you will have peace because you've entered into a relationship with Jesus. And the peace of God spoken in verse 7, this is not a peace that we can attain ourselves. It's not the power of positive thinking or some other route, but it's a spiritual peace that is difficult to explain. It says in the Bible, peace that is beyond understanding. It's difficult to explain, but it is lived. It is lived. In my worst circumstances in my life, when I look back, I've had the most peace when the storm has been the worst, the most peace. And as soon as things said maybe or think, and the big things, I've had the most peace, and it's been instant. And I've known it's a God peace. It's a supernatural peace. And I've had that straight away. And that's happened about 3 or 4 times in my life for very, very big things. And I've known straight away, thank you, God, I instantly feel your peace. The peace I've spoken to about guards our heart and mind. We have to protect this, our heart, and we have to protect this. And we do that through reading God's word. The Holy Spirit talks to us and changes us and moves in us and makes us different to what we would be. But our minds need protecting. Mental health is off the scale at the moment. And a lot of it is because people don't know what to think. There's so much confusion. But a mind that's fixed on God is a mind that's whole. It says, guard your hearts and minds. And when I looked this up, it said, in this particular context, it's a military term. And immediately, because I think visually, immediately I was thinking of when guards are standing outside a building and won't let people in. And they're there 24/7. And they're protecting that building or that place. And they do not move and no one will get past them. That's the kind of mental picture that I had instantly of that. And you know, we stand, and we sung it this morning, because of him and his faithfulness. Slide 6, please. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on. And then the next slide, please. I like this because I'm visual. What is true? Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. It's something, if I'm ever in a bit of a whirl up here, one of my prayers is, Lord, just steady me. Let me think now of something that's good. Let me think now of something. Just let me have good thoughts now. And I ask God to do that, and I do it quite quickly usually. I've got into a habit of doing it quickly. And what I'm going to say to you is, this Philippians 4, if you practice these things, you'll do it quicker and quicker and quicker because it becomes part of who you are. This is the fruit and the food of the mind. So slide 8. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me. So this is Paul speaking. And everything you've heard me say. Because he was speaking to the Philippian church and they were having problems. Then the God of peace will be with you. And what I'd just like to say is that we need to put into practice these things, what I've just said. You know, I don't know how you are, but I eat properly. I eat properly so that my body should work better. Now, I'm not in control of that, and there's bits of it that aren't working properly, and that's nothing to do with anything that I'm doing or not doing. I went recently to a consultant's thing, and she was lovely, the person, and she said to me, can I just tell you, because I was saying, if I do this and I do that and I do this and I do that and I eat this and I eat that and exercise, and she just went, it's not anything you've done. It's not anything you've done. You couldn't stop this, what's going on. And I just went, okay. But what I want to say to you is, we eat properly. Usually, eat properly means you're healthy, means you've got energy. Sleep properly means you have good rest and all your cells are renewing themselves. And what I want to say to you is, spiritually, we need to be having the right input in us so that we are spiritually healthy. It's not just going to happen. It's something that we have to do. You know, Lisa's been amazing on her journey of losing weight. But she will tell you that it's taken effort and consistency. And there'll be times when she's wanted to give up. I'm sure there's times that she's wanted to give up. But she hasn't. And she's continued. And that's what we've got to be like too. We've got to concentrate our minds on good stuff. Things stay in our minds and then good fruit's produced. And that's what I want for us. I want good fruit to be produced. I'm just going to finish now with a couple of things. Romans 12 verse 2, it's a scripture we quote a lot. I know it's one of Mark's favourites, it's one of mine. It speaks of the essential place of being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Think on these things. What we think about is very important. Every day, everything starts with thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 speaks of the importance of casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Every thought into captive to the obedience of Christ. If you have a negative thought, one of the things, please talk to us if you need to. But if you want to know how to stop that thought from going on and on and on and on and on and on and on, we'll give you some pointers how to, as it says, take captive that thought so it stops where it is. We talked before about God being faithful. And one of the things we sang this morning was that God's promises are yet and amen. Amen means, and so be it. And so be it. And that's how we've got to be. And so be it, God. Promises. So on here, I prepared a little sheet that I have taken off the internet after looking at it and making sure it's credible. And it's two sides of A4 on all the fear nots. So I'll give you an example. And I've done this for you to take away, because these are God's promises. Because one of the things me saying is, God's promises are yes and amen. Yes and so be it. But what are God's promises? And some of you won't know what they are. So I've done a two-side A4 of what God's promises are about fear. The great scriptures, these. Go home, have a look at it. Look at it for yourself. Oswald Chambers on this next slide. When you fear God, you fear nothing else. And I thought about this and I thought, Oswald Chambers is a really good guy. He's one of our teachers. I've got one of his, most of us will have one of his daily reading books at home. He's been gone a long time, but nothing changes about what he's written, because he writes about God's word. When you fear God, you fear nothing else, because there's no room for anything else. You know, when God is number one and we're confident that whatever happens to us, there's no room for anything else. It boots out the fear. And that's what we've got to have in our Christian life. Get that fear booted out. Fear in this next contact is, it's the last slide really, the fear of the Lord. And that's not where you're frightened of God. It means that you understand who God is. And in the context of, nothing's too big. He's all powerful, all knowing, and he's everywhere. So in that context, that's the fear of the Lord. To have an understanding of who he is, how big he is, how magnificent he is. And I was reminded about that recording that was around about 2006, 2007. Recording, if you want to know what it is, just ask me. Where the man starts that prayer that's not written down, and he starts off saying, do you know him? Do you know him? And he starts to roam off all the things that God is. It's so powerful. And I was thinking that as I was writing this. Do you know him? There's no situation that we can't handle with God. Our lives take us into places that we never thought we would go. Our experiences that are beyond what we might have thought would happen. But our God is all-knowing and powerful. Lisa did a really good video the other Thursday night on the Growing Together group. And she summarised it really simply, and I just thought it was a brilliant video. She's so good at videos. I hate videoing myself. It's like the worst thing for me. The worst thing for somebody to say is, let's record you. Oh, it's terrible. But Lisa was brilliant, and she turned around and she said in this video, and this is where I want us to get to, she turned around and said that she gives everything to God so that when she is in front of someone, they are the person... She's giving to that person, in a sense, they're number one at that point in front of her. And you can see that in the way that she deals with stuff and the CAP clients that she has and other things that she deals with on a Tuesday. Her priority is that God is everything, and then that's their setting stone, that's her foundation. And then when everyone is sat in front of her, they know who she is, what she stands for, and she concentrates, no matter what's going on with that person, on that person and what God can do for them. And the way she put it across in the video was brilliant. I was really impressed by it. She says, I just do what's in front of me, the one person that's in front of me. And I thought, that's quite great clarity, that. So who you bump into, who you say hello to, who lives near you, who you've got a relationship with, who you meet at the school gate, who you're at work with. Let's get rid of our fears. Ask God to help us, give us peace, and then concentrate on the one above us and in front of us. Thank you. Thank you. I just want us to pray for these families now, because the inquest was for these girls this week, and which means then they're able to arrange funerals and things. And I want us to pray about those families. And, you know, we'll come against the fear, we'll come against all the things. There was a woman who was interviewed, and probably this may have started my thoughts about this. She was just had a baby, and she lives in that area. And she's mixed race, and she said, "I'm frightened to go out with my new baby." And I just thought, this is not a world that we should be living in. And our God is you know, is our conqueror. So I'm just going to pray, Lord, the situations that are going on around us and the things that we see and hear and the things that are in the news, Lord, I thank you, God, that you are sovereign. I thank you, God, that you are almighty. I ask for a move of your spirit in our land. You have said that when your people humble themselves and pray, you will heal their land. I ask you, Father God, to heal our land. Lord, we come against fear that keeps people where they are. You have come to set the captives free. You have come, Lord, to break the hold of fear. We come against fear in the name of Jesus. We ask for a release of your Holy Spirit on our land. Lord, we pray for these families, such devastation, and the children who've been involved in this. We pray, God, that you will somehow just do something good out of this terrible, terrible thing. We ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will do some good in this such terrible thing, that people will be brought together, that people will come to know you, that people will search, wondering what's going on, and call out your name. Lord, we ask it in the name of Jesus. And I pray for anyone here today who has any fear about anything. Lord, help them to bring it into the light, Lord, so that you can deal with it. And help us, Lord, to be confident in who you are. Help those that are new Christians and those that are just on this walk, Lord. I just pray right now, God, that you will break in, and we just come against any fear in the name of Jesus. Amen.